Meditate on it, The Secret of the Lord, The Hidden Truth That Defines Your Destiny, a hardbound book. Your gift of $20 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Yes, I know there are some scriptures that people use to try to say that the dead, the wicked are going to be annihilated. Oh, is that what you want? You just want to be burned up. Maybe at the stake? Come on, let's get serious. It's time to fear the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Yes, when they don't cough in their face.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Priva Terra, who's certainly practices in Southern California. And Dr. Priva Terra, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about your practice and why you seem to have a much different approach to so many of the diseases than so many of the conventional doctors, and yet, of course, you seem to be getting very, very good results with many of your patients.
Well, as you know, there are two ways to go. You can take for diseases synthetic substances, like, say, many people have low thyroid. Well, most of the time, as you know, Stan, they are offered synthetic thyroid. So we don't think that's right. If you are offered a natural apple or a synthetic apple, I think most people are going to choose a natural apple. But most of the time, they just put them on the synthetic thyroid. So our practice tries to be analogously to that, more of a natural approach. So it's not that we deny using anything the establishment offers, such as cortisone or antibiotics or other drugs, but we try, and that's why we call ourselves integrative doctors, to use them sparingly, and if we have to at all. So that's the, like, I think a good example is I have a sister-in-law who I, because of her weight, we give her B shots and we have her on prednisone every other day. And so the effect in the blood is only 4 to 6 hours, but the effect on the tissue is 48 hours. So we are using integrative medicine. And I've been doing this for, oh gosh, I'm 70 for 40 plus years. We both are up there.
Well, now, basically, of course, if you're going to treat somebody for hypothyroid, then you would use then bovine thyroid, the animal thyroid, rather than the synthetic. Is that what you're suggesting?
Sure. Not only does it have T4 and T3, but it has a whole bunch of stuff that's in it, of course, its whole gland, that we haven't figured out yet, and we're probably never going to figure out. Okay? It's like saying, okay, instead of giving liver, we'll give somebody B12 and iron because B12 and iron are in liver. Well, isn't that dumb? And that's exactly what the establishment does. And so we try not to do that. And we try to show the patients these basically nutritional ways. And so we do nutritional testing. And all of this is on my website, privateer.com. They can go into much more detail than we can in an hour, but it's all there. My main thing is that I'm known for is dark field microscopy, as you know, and that's and the importance of that is that it has to do mostly with heart disease. So back in 1996, an ER doctor came in and he said, "Doc, I don't know much about holistic medicine. Somebody came in and said, how much vitamin E do I take? And I just went, duh, 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 duh. I said, well, okay. I said, well, doc, do you have any personal problems? He says, well, I got chest pain, and I'm an ER doc. So I had all the tests, ER, EKG, stress test, echocardiogram, and I found out that they were all negative, so they diagnosed me as costochondritis, or pain where the ribs go into the sternum.
Well, you hold on there for just a moment, Chris.
Sure.
We can be back here in just a moment with Dr. Priva Terra. So this doctor had been diagnosed with costochondritis. He had chest pain. And what did you determine?
I said, well, let's look at your blood. We looked at his blood.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Clotting ice in the blood, put him onto omega-3 oils, and his, within a very, very few minutes, why the clotting in the blood was gone and the angina was gone, and a dramatic improvement. And it is certainly one of the things that most people don't understand. The government, many years ago, came up and told us, oh my goodness, everybody's eating wrong. And they're eating wrong because they're eating omega-3 oils. What you need is omega-6 oils. Stay away from butter. Stay away from cream. Stay away from...
Exactly.
And basically because they were telling them all the wrong things to do. They got people off of butter, which is good for you.
And remember the 4 eggs a week deal?
They got them onto margarine, and they knew this was toxic. They knew that the omega-6 oils, they were the worst thing in the world they could possibly give you. You go to a lot of the countries, you know, where people eat a lot of dairy products and a lot of eggs. Southern Europeans do this. They eat a lot of butter, and they live longer than most people. But the people in Washington, D.C. had an agenda. They gave us a food pyramid that was exactly inverted, and literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people died because they lied to us about fats, where we should have been on omega-3 oils, where we were on omega-6 oils. How could you make a mistake like that? Well, if you understand, I believe, a population control agenda, this is why people have to begin doing the research on their own. And, of course, Dr. Privatera was just pointing out that certain racial groups have certain things that they eat that, of course, will tend to make them healthier. What were those substances you were talking certainly about? Certain groups eat garlic. Other groups certainly... but go down that list. I thought it was very fascinating.
Sure. So the Japanese eat natto, and it has natto kinase, which is a natural blood thinner. And of course, the French have grapeseed extract. And the Hawaiians have bromelain, which is found in pineapple. And there's so many herbs, like feverfew is a blood thinner. So headaches also are caused by clots. And studies have been done, and we just redid the studies and found a very, very effective, that just giving these natural things gets rid of headaches too. So if you've got a headache, try taking some fish oil. Now, if you chew the fish oil, if you got a headache, it's going to be much faster, because the fish oil capsule, or if you take a liquid, that's going to be fast, because you have to digest the gelatin capsule. That may take 5 to 10 minutes, depending on how much hydrochloric acid you have. So the things that cause excess clotting are multiple. For example, one of the biggest ones, Dr. Stan, is a really obvious one in America. It's America's biggest sin, and I'm sure you can guess that happens to be sugar, okay? So sugar makes platelets stick together, causing clots. So that's what a clot's made up of. And, of course, another big one in excess is caffeine. Okay, another big one in excess is alcohol. And another huge one, and is very common, is smoking. So, and another huge one, of course, that a lot of people are talking about nowadays is high estrogen, because of plastics and pesticides and bisphenol. We have literally, and being fat, obesity, one-third of the population is fat, so therefore each one of those fat cells makes excess estrogen. So how many women? Let's say 40% of women have PMS. One of the hallmarks of PMS is headaches before periods, caused by the excess estrogen.
You mentioned bisphenol, and I think it's so vitally important that the average American, they really don't understand what bisphenol is, where they get it. It's been known going back to the 1930s that this was a powerful female hormone, and so we're giving it to men, and we effeminize our men, we effeminize our boys, we start in their infancy. Could you briefly tell our listeners about bisphenol? It's certainly one of the things that plague us. They know what they're doing. Other countries have outlawed it, but not here in the United States.
Right.
I wonder why. But please give a little short dissertation on this.
Well, it's a material that's in soft plastic. And from what I can understand, I think you'll agree, put there purposely. So that we will feminize men, and exactly what you said. Therefore, we will have less population. And this is the eugenics problem. They want to reduce the population. So feminizing men is part of the answer. So we have, throughout the world, lower sperm counts now than we had 50 years ago.
And basically the bisphenol, you'll find it, for instance, in the plastic in the baby bottles. Now, it's not going to come out just if it's in the plastic. But when you warm them up, if, for instance, you're going to give your infant warm milk, why, of course, then the bisphenol comes out. The bisphenol is used as a lining for tin cans so that they won't rust. There are lots of other things that you could use, but they insist on using the bisphenol because, of course, it feminizes men, and, of course, it also gives women much more in the way of hormones. They know what they're doing. Look it up, bisphenol, I think is the right. Is that the way you spell it?
Sure.
Bisphenol. Look it up, ladies and gentlemen. Find out the other countries have outlawed it. Why won't we outlaw it here in America? Well, of course, it's wonderful for population control. But we're starting with our infant children, you know, the first few weeks of life, giving our little boys large doses of estrogens. And then we wonder why we have so many problems. Go right, but the bisphenol is prevalent in so many parts of our society, but primarily in plastics. So when you heat up those plastics, why the bisphenol comes out, lining the cans. Almost every tin can has bisphenol lining. And if that's true, why doesn't everybody know about this thing, Dr. Privitera?
Well, that's why you're around, Dr. Stan, to educate people. And the good news is we still have fairly good control of the media, except for all the mainstream media. We have control of the alternative media still, despite the NDAA and the attempt to regulate the fairness doctrine and all the rest to control the media so that we can't talk about subjects that they don't want us to talk about. One of the other huge things that thins the blood and that many people need, as we mentioned before, is thyroid. And you're right. It's the whole natural thyroid is the first thyroid that should be offered to patients who have symptoms of low thyroid, which are very, very common. So, for example, younger women, it's really kind of, I'd have to say, it's kind of epidemic. So what do they have? Overweight, cold hands and feet, hair falling out easily in the shower. They have constipation and headaches. And so this is a very dry skin. So this is very, very common in our girls who are anywhere from 15 to 50.
You know, I wonder why that is. Sydney, you know, God didn't make us to have inadequate thyroid or so many of the other diseases we have. Do you think it's something toxic in the environment? Of course, we know that the water fluoridation, why, of course, the fluoride gets in, competes with the iodine for position in the thyroid. Do you think the water fluoridation plays a part of this? Or
fluoride knocks down the thyroid. You're exactly right. Plus, because it's an halogen, it's the same group of, and but also, we've taken iodine, which is a thyroid activator. We've taken thyroid out of, right, salt, and we've taken it out of bread, and we replaced it with bromine. So you can still get the iodinated salt, so look for the iodinated salt. But a real huge reason why everybody should really consider taking extra iodine, as you well know, is Fukushima. So what's happened here, there are stories about 15,000 babies that because they're highly sensitive, they have a lot more fast-growing cells than we do, so they're sensitive to anything that interferes with that growth, so radioactivity much more effective in killing babies than it is killing older people. So there's reports that of 15,000 babies up north, seals out of Alaska, they show on Rinse.com, they show all kinds of, I don't know if it's still on there, films of seals getting cancer. So basically, I'll do this cheap little test where you rub iodine on the skin. If it goes away by the evening, people are short, I'll put them on a little iodine because we want to block all this radioactive iodine that's coming from Fukushima.
Well, and let me just comment for our listeners. We have a great four-tape set on iodine. We actually carry something which we offer to our listeners. It's called Iodorol. I take it. My wife takes it. We have a lot of our listeners take it.
Yep,
and, of course, it's to actually raise your level of iodine. Well, people are not getting adequate iodine. Why would they have taken the iodine out of bread? Why would they have removed a lot of the iodine from the iodized salt? You can get it, but you have to look for it. Why would they do this sort of thing when we need iodine in our diet? And, of course, we have so many people that, of course, are becoming hypothyroid, and, of course, the fluoride we put in the water replaces the iodine and the thyroid gland, and that's why you need more iodine to be competitive. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Dr. Privitera. If you have a question, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You go right ahead. Dr. Privitera,
oh, okay.
You go right ahead.
Okay, so anyway, that's a very important thing, all the iodine situation. But
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Well, they say they're very small amounts, you know, in a vaccine shot. Yeah, but you give them six vaccine shots at one time, and they're getting far beyond the acceptable dosage. But you see, it's so much more convenient to give all those vaccine shots at one time. And I don't want to get off of the subject of vaccines, but the vaccines contain mercury, and they contain MSG, and they contain aspartame, and they contain aluminum and formaldehyde, yeah, all these sort of toxic things. And they say, well, we're here from the government. We want to help him. Bill Gates is giving hundreds of millions of dollars to vaccinate little children all throughout the world. But what is Bill Gates' motive? Bill Gates believes in population control. He go up on the internet, find out Bill Gates totally dedicated to population control. Why do you think he's giving those vaccine shots to children throughout the world? Because he knows they contain aluminum and mercury and all these other serious toxins and products that will destroy fertility. But we can't let the common people know. They must think this is all altruism. Well, of course, I wonder why Bill Gates and the Rockefellers and Monsanto have built the Doomsday Seed Bank up there 800 miles from the Arctic Circle. I shouldn't say the Arctic Circle, from the North Pole. The Doomsday Seed Bank 800 miles from the Arctic Circle to store, actually, heirloom seeds for when they start in all over again. Let's go to John, who's calling us from Washington, Spokane, Washington. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Dr. Privatera is good enough to come on with us tonight and talk about these medical things that most people have never thought about. And if your doctor is trying to give you statin medications, why you need to get our 4-tape set on statins. John, how are you doing? Do you have a question for comment?
Yes. I take Iotarol, and I don't know how much to take. And I've been taking one pill a day.
Well, you wouldn't want to take more than that. One pill is just the right amount.
Okay.
That's at, 12.5 milligrams, I think.
Okay. So if your average person takes one Iotarol a day, that's not going to cause a problem?
No. For the average person. Well, what would your thoughts on that be, Dr.
Well, Dr. I would think because of the variety of people out there, and if you get a little bit jumpy from it, if you get a little bit like a coffee effect, if you get a little bit irritable or tremulous from it, then just take it every other day or skip a few days and then take it every other day. But okay. We have this worry all the time, but my gosh, here we have coffee available to us. People know they can adjust how much coffee is going to make them jittery. Well, I would think the same thing with iodine. If it did cause you, because I use the same amount with my patients, 12.5 milligrams, and I take it myself. I took one this morning. And it's because of this, especially with this new Fukushima insanity out there. So we have to protect our thyroid. Thyroid cancer is on the rise, probably because of Fukushima. But it's certainly a wise thing to do to keep your thyroid active and keep it full of iodine and to prevent the radioactive thyroid from going into your thyroid and promoting thyroid cancer.
John, does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's great. Now, let's say, for example, I know, Dr. Stan, you promote the other type of iodine in case of a nuclear attack or something like that. When would you ever take that stuff?
If you actually are taking Iodorol regularly, you don't need the other type of thyroid, the other type of iodine. You would only have, you if your thyroid is loaded with iodine, you don't need to take other things.
Yeah,
certainly for the people who are not taking iodine on a regular basis, then they should have a supply of potassium iodate around. But
I think
you don't need it.
And isn't that? What? Isn't the Iodorol, isn't it?
Beg pardon?
Isn't potassium iodine in that?
Yep.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. It's nice. You do not need it if you're taking Iodorol. But let's hope that we never have a nuclear attack. Although I will tell you, I'm very, very concerned, John. Everything our government is doing is to bring about a war with Iran. Iran is very closely related to Pakistan, who has the nuclear bombs that got them from the United States. And if you haven't read my article, it's on my webpage, The Sybil Edmonds Story. It says, go to your search engine, type in Radio Liberty, Sybil Edmonds Story. Read the story of how we transferred the nuclear technology to build nuclear weapons to Pakistan, who gave them to Iran.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I know that there are some of you out there who are suffering from a debilitating disease. Many of you may feel that there's nothing else that can be done regarding your cancer. I want to suggest that you investigate the Invita Clinic. The only clinic of its kind, Invita offers an extensive array of advanced natural treatments under one roof. They treat a wide variety of conditions, particularly cancer and heart disease. The diversity of their doctors' education and training ensures that no stone is left unturned when it comes to patient care. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Better yet, investigate their website at www.invita.com. That's E-N-V-I-T-A.com. 866-830-4576, Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
In the listening audience, you have a question or comment, why you can call us here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Dr. Privatera is just saying that he sees a fair number of the young men coming home from the military, certainly dating back to the first Gulf War, with the symptoms of depleted uranium toxicity. Depleted uranium, of course, is not used by other countries. It's been known to be toxic in our own manuals. They'll admit it's toxic. In Fallujah, you remember the town over there in Iraq where our Marines went in and they actually just really blew up that whole town. Well, basically, depleted uranium, it is in almost all the munitions we use because it will actually perforate the iron, it'll perforate steel, it'll perforate cement, and of course it burns, and it's really very toxic.
Because they use it because it's seven times the density
right.
of but, lead.
But basically, of course, what happens is that it causes birth defects. And Dr. Privatera is saying, and I've heard similar stories, that the incidence of birth defects among the Iraqi children born in that town is 13 times the normal rate, 13 times what it used to be. And this is true all over Iraq. We poisoned the people there with depleted uranium, but we also poisoned our own boys. Many of the cases of Gulf War syndrome are related directly to depleted uranium. And certainly if you have never seen the DVD put out by our friend Joyce,
Riley,
why it's called Beyond Treason, we have it. You need to see it. It's the story of depleted uranium. And if you can watch that DVD without weeping for what we're doing to our soldiers and our servicemen, why, of course, I just don't know how you can. It's one of the most powerful DVDs I have ever seen. Beyond Treason, we do carry it, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. It comes certainly with a government document, 50 more, maybe 100 pages, pointing out that they know this is toxic, and they're using it anyway, and they're not only poisoning the civilians, they're poisoning our own men. But then if you hate America, if you hate our military, wouldn't you want to do something that would poison our military? Dr. Privateri, what are you doing for these young men when they come to your office or with the signs of depleted uranium toxicity?
Well, it's just kind of like everything. We test their minerals, get their minerals in balance. It's called a hair mineral test. And get them tuned up. Look at their blood. They're almost all clotting, so keep the blood thin. They need some brain help, so give them things that stimulate brain function like phosphatidylcholine and serine. And there's a lot of stuff, materials like DMAE and vinfosetin. So, yeah, thyroid, they're all low thyroid. So they've been really hammered, unfortunately. But believe me, the ones I treat are still around 10, 15 years later. So they usually have a pretty bad prognostication, you know, prognosis. But the ones we treat who take supplements on a regular basis and are pay attention are doing good, who take the anti-radio mimetic supplements that I've mentioned.
Well, things like curcumin or quercetin or resveratrol or yeah, tea, would those things help the mental function?
They
of
have
people?
Clotting, and the curcumin is a blood thinner, of course.
Right.
It's blood thinners. Fish oil is wonderful. So getting them, just building up their nutrition and immunity, Dr. Stan, is really what they need. And but it does work, because I can tell you they're around. I just had another one come back and see me and took them out to lunch the other day. So, yeah, even 10, 15 years later, they're doing fine.
Okay, well, I tell them.
Actually, 20, huh? Because he was in Desert Storm.
Right, because that was 1991.
Yeah.
My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Bob, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Bob. What part of Michigan are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Lansing. I'm listening on AM 1390 WLCM.
Good. So that's a great station, and it's part of the Christian Religious Broadcasting Network that we're on. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I would like to ask about, I am doing a real good job. I'm 58 years old, and I'm reducing my sugar intake, and I haven't been to a doctor in many years. I have good health. I'm just doing it because I think it's a good idea based on everything that I've heard. But I wanted to ask you about salt, because I love salt, and I couldn't imagine cutting down on my salt.
Well, I'm sure Stan and I are going to give you the same answer. Salt's wonderful. The answer is make sure it's iodized, and even better, make sure it's a sea salt. That's even a better one. There's also Himalayan salt, which has a whole bunch of minerals. But again, you can test yourself for iodine. If you get the dark iodine, I don't know if you have the drops, Dr. Stan, but if the drops, you can put a drop on your forearm, and if it's gone by the evening, that means you're really sucking up the iodine and you can use more. So, and alternatively, you can use iodized salt. So look for it. It's around. Just make sure you look for it.
I use just good old Morton iodized salt.
Okay, good. There you go. That's great.
And the thing is, we have to ask ourselves, why would the government have mandated taking the iodine out of a lot of salt? I mean, 40, 50 years ago, all the salt was iodized because they knew how important it was. But you see, then they came in with a population control agenda, and they took the iodine out of our bread. They took the iodine out of a lot of the salt. You can get it, but you have to look for it. And most people really find it very difficult to believe that anything could be so diabolical as to actually utilize food and nutrition to destroy the health of our people, of our children, but they know exactly what they're doing. And Sydney, you need, we have this wonderful book by Russell Blaylock, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Everybody should get the book, they should read it, and understand what they're doing to our people. Anything else before we let you go, Bob?
I didn't understand one comment he made. Am I to understand that I can purchase sea salt that's iodized?
Well, it has iodine normally in it. It has iodine, and it has a whole bunch of other minerals in it, the sea salt.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think my normal grocery store has that, do they?
You may have to go to a Trader Joe's, a Whole Foods, or a Sprouts, or one of the health food stores to get.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Bob, thanks very much. And that's Bob calling from Lansing, Michigan. Again, so our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to learn about health and nutrition, and you're going to have to do this on your own. I mean, your doctor, I'm sure, is trying to do the best he can for you. But I know I went through medical school. They don't teach you this sort of thing in medical school. And after you get out, why, of course, you're constantly told about all these wonderful new medicines they have, like statin drugs. Oh, my goodness, we've got to get your cholesterol down.
One of the things, Stan, that I don't like about statins and is not talked about is that at the same dosage they tested animals, it's carcinogenic.
Sure it is, but they know it's carcinogenic, and they know that you're actually destroying the cholesterol that you need for brain function. They know it lowers the coenzyme Q10. A lot of these people on the statin drugs then get congestive heart failure, and then they got to treat the congestive heart failure. But let's go to Barbara calling right now. Hi, Barbara. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I do. You were talking about the importance earlier of omega-3. And somebody was saying that the krill oil is also very good.
That's a good question. There's a few studies on krill oil. I had somebody come in the other day who was on krill oil, and they had excess clotting. So my answer to that is it's a new one on the block. I'm sure it has, the studies are good, but I still feel more comfortable with what Christ multiplied, fish oil.
Fish oil.
In other words, it's the most studied of the natural blood thinners.
Okay, that's the omega-3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. And also to the gentleman who was calling in earlier, I have looked in the grocery store, and a lot of the sea salts now do not have iodine in them.
Is that right? Okay,
yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, and in fact, I looked through the last time I was down, looked through all the shelves, and sea salt, none of them that they had anyway.
Well, you better order some from Dr. Stan.
Oh, we don't actually carry that.
I meant the iodine.
We have the iodine.
but that's, it is, it's interesting. It was interesting to find that actually it did not have the iodine in it. So.
And people have to get used to reading the labels. You have to understand that they lie on the labels. For instance, they don't want you to know they got aspartame and MSG in it. They call it a taste enhancers or a natural flavoring or something like that. Understand that they are poisoning our people. If you don't know the dangers of aspartame and MSG, aspartame is in something like 6,000 products. It produces pathological obesity, it actually predisposes to diabetes, it destroys
brain
fertility, brain cancer, regular tumors. They know all of these things. All of the studies are there. We've got the studies, we've got all sorts of tape sets on this. We actually have the government reports on this.
One of my daughter-in-laws says that she's a stewardess. She says they have banned it for the American Airlines pilots.
Basically because they'll get convulsions sometimes taking aspartate, so they don't want the pilots who cross the planes, but it's all right to give it to the people on the planes. Anything else, Barbara?
No, thank you. This is an excellent program. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Bill calling us from the great state of Washington. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-2295. Hi, Bill. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. You were talking about the depleted uranium used on the Iraqi people, and I actually read in the Guardian UK newspaper that the military was researching, as a strategy of war against the Iraqi people, actually manufacturing a gay bomb that would turn the men in Iraq to attract to the other men in order to take over the country. And it didn't say that they had completed the bomb, but it did say they were researching it. So if they're researching that, who knows if they are already not releasing something like that, or maybe they plan to in the future.
Well, of course, basically the bisphenol that's in the cans and the plastics, of course, feminizes the men, and it just it destroys the normal health of our people. Bisphenol, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a computer, go up and simply go to your search engine and type in bisphenol, B-I-S-P-H-E-N-O-L. And understand, other countries have outlawed it, and you're never going to even hear about this here in America. And I wouldn't be at all surprised, Bill. I've never heard this, but nothing would surprise me. You have to understand, we're up against organized evil. Anything else, Bill?
Yeah, I had never heard of that before either, but it was in the Guardian newspaper. I mean, unless they're just making
And Bill, if you haven't read Dr. Stan's book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, it is only 138 pages, whereas Tragedy and Hope is how many pages?
1,342.
1,342. Oh, my God. See, I never got through Tragedy and Hope. I have a copy. But Dr. Stan's book, every line is a powerful piece of information.
Well, I appreciate your kind words. Anything else, Bill?
Well, your book is, along with thousands of other books, are on my reading list. So.
All right, fine. Well,
this is going to be this is my favorite book, and it's not because I'm on this show. I bought tons of them.
I know he has. I really appreciate so much you helping us get the word out. People have to understand what we're up against, and we're up against not only humans but supernatural forces that hate humanity.
Pages, right. Bill, you will understand precisely where we're going.
Okay. Thanks very much. Appreciate your calling.
Thanks.
Anything else, Bill, before we let you go?
No, that's good. I just thought I'd bring that up.
Thank you so very much for calling, and let's go to Eric, who's calling us from Detroit. To get our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. And hi, Eric, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. The gentleman across from Lansing motivated me to call because at Meyer 50 Acre in Michigan, they do carry what's called Redmond real salt from Usol. And as I look at the back, it does say that it contains iodine, but only 10% of the daily value, which is 0.00%, in 1/4 teaspoon. And I was curious what the doctor had to say about that.
What's that
0.002% per serving, which is 1/4 teaspoon, and according to the nutrition facts, says the iodine is only 10% of the daily value DV. I guess
I'm looking at right now iodized salt by Leslie, and I'm trying to figure out, they say 45% of the daily value. Okay? What do they say that is?
Is that per serving, doctor?
It says amount per serving, serving size 1/4 teaspoon. It says 45% daily value of iodine.
But, of course, the daily value of iodine that they acknowledge here is not 12.5 milligrams, but 1.25 milligrams. So, basically, they have lowered the level if I were you, Eric, I would give serious consideration to getting Iodorol or a Lugol solution or some sort of a supplement. Most people are not getting enough iodine.
Oh, I test people all the time. And there is a New England Journal article, which is the most prestigious journal in the world, that basically says that. The whole world is low in iodine.
And we got a great four-tape set on iodine, Eric. This is one that got me interested in carrying the Iodorol and began to take it ourselves. But, Sydney, when the government tells you, oh, my goodness, this gives you half the daily dose or something like that, they lie. Remember, these are the people who told you that butter and eggs and cream, these are just terrible for you. Go ahead and eat the omega-6, the margarine, and these other oils, knowing full well that they would increase the incidence of heart disease and all sorts of other problems. Eric, you're going to have to look after your own health. God bless, and thanks so much. Well, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program for us.
I think one other subject we ought to hit a little bit hard.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Dr. Privateri was talking about one of the greatest hoaxes of all time, acid reflux. People, of course, older people very often will have the burning told you have acid reflux. What you need to do is take an antacid. Well, of course, the reason that they have the acid reflux is because, of course, if you have, a shortage of acid in your stomach, why, of course, the sphincter at the top of the the lower end of the esophagus relaxes, trying to make up for that. And then, of course, you get the acid reflux. What you need to do is take more acid, not take the antacid. Billions of dollars are spent on acids and antacids. They're simply IO every year in the United States, and it only makes people worse. If you have acid reflux, what you really need is more acid, not less acid. What you need is more acid, not antacids. A wonderful means by which the drug companies make a great fortune, and certainly this is a very valid observation. Most doctors are unaware of it, but of course the drug companies aren't. They smile all the way to the bank, another hoax put over the American people. If you've never got our four-tape set on iodine, our four-tape set on statin drugs, you need to get our book on magnesium. Most people are actually low on magnesium. This is one reason why so often athletes, they're out running, you know, they run a marathon and they just drop over dead. And when they examine them, they're perfectly all right. Why did they drop over dead? Well, they had a cardiac arrhythmia related to low magnesium. You need to get the book we carry on magnesium. There's so much information on health. Let me suggest once again Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And you are responsible for your health. And it's not that your doctor doesn't care. He just, in many instances, does not know because he's lied to at medical meetings and he's lied to in his medical journals, which are written by people who have a vested interest of putting out faulty information. So once again, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Russell Blaylock, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills by Dr. Blaylock, and Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. What your doctor will not tell you about how you can boost your immune system to help, of course, avoid cancer. And if you do have a cancer, the supplement, of course, getting your immune system back working, which is your greatest protection against the tragedy, certainly, of cancer today. And cancer is on the rise. It's on the rise because they're doing so many things, actually, to foment cancer. Right now, they're forcing everybody to go through these CT scanners when you get in the airport. Why? Oh, we're fighting terrorism. Ladies and gentlemen, we're financing terrorism throughout the world. If you doubt that, suddenly go to your search engine on your computer and type in ISI, that's Pakistani intelligence, ISI funds Al-Qaeda. You'll find the ISI funds Al-Qaeda. And then type in CIA funds ISI. You'll find the CIA is funding the ISI that's funding Al-Qaeda. But because we're so concerned about the threat of terrorism, why we also have to go ahead and we all have to go through these scanners. Ladies and gentlemen, there are 35 Islamic terrorist training camps in the United States. Go up, type that into your search engine. You'll find this is correct. Or go to Paul Williams or Christian Action Network, Islamic terrorist training camps. We have at least 35 Islamic terrorist training camps in America. We've got the great two new DVDs. One of them is called Jihad in America. The other is called Homegrown Terrorists. These are new DVDs. Jihad in America or Homegrown Terrorists. Get this information and then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, our ministers. Find out that they're lying to you at every turn. Until we'll be back in a moment. Through the night with a light from above. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who formerly was the senior editor of the New American Magazine. He's now the managing editor of Republic Magazine. He's a prolific writer. He writes our monthly newsletter, and I hope we're going to get our newsletter here for the November, December before very long, because we're getting towards February. But be that as it may, William, it's so good to have you with us. And what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Dr. Stan, I really appreciate the opportunity and your kind words. I am rather surprised to find out that you haven't gotten the newsletter because I sent it last week, but I'll take care of that tomorrow. I did get that double issue ready, and so apparently there's some kind of a miscommunication here, but that'll be something we can clear up over the next couple of days. And just want to make sure that we do keep up to date and get the January one pretty quickly as well. In any case, we do need to talk about the clearly impending war with Iran and the fact that we are being maneuvered into a war that would serve nobody's interest. One of the staggeringly perverse things about our current situation is that the architects of acceptable opinion are trying to tell us that those of us who oppose a preemptive war against Iran would somehow be objectively anti-Semitic, in spite of the fact that among the first people to suffer in the event of a war with Iran would be Iran's Jewish population of some 25,000 people or so, many of whom are multi-generation citizens of Iran, some of whom serve in Iran's parliament, which is not an institution for which I would have any respect, and many of whom operate hospitals, charitable foundations, and houses of worship. Iran has got a horrible government. Let us stipulate that up front. And it's a government which is run by a mullocracy, by a clerisy, that consists of people who are devoted to a very authoritarian and unpleasant variant of Shiite Islam.
But don't forget, we installed that government back in 1979.
Exactly.
We put those ayatollahs in power. And, of course, if there is a war over there, there will be retaliation against little Israel. And it may well be that thousands of missiles will rain down on Israel. If you are pro-Israel, the last thing you want is a war over there that's going to involve Iran, because suddenly there'll not only be attacks from Iran, there'll be attacks from up north in Lebanon and from Syria, from Hezbollah there, and perhaps even from Turkey. Why would anybody in their right mind want to go to war with Iran? And yet it's quite obvious that they're planning on it. I don't know when it's coming. But if you read the editorials in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and you read the articles in Foreign Affairs magazine, specifically the one by Matthew Kronig, who is a senior fellow there sitting with the Council on Foreign Relations, you'll find out that they're justifying the war. At the same time, they're admitting that Iran is not trying to build a nuclear bomb. Go right ahead.
That's exactly right. Of course, by we, we're referring to the government that rules us, or the power behind the government that rules us, which installed the Shah in 1953 and then uprooted him in 1979 using, in both instances, radical mullahs, many of whom had been recruited and bribed by the CIA in 1953 to overthrow Mossadegh and install Shah Pahlavi. And if we end up with a war in Iran, you're correct, there'd be retaliation against Israel. There'd also be tremendous suffering on the part of the 25,000 or so Persian Jews who live in Iran and who have maintained their Jewish identity even in the midst of that government.
I share your concern, but of course, when you start a war, you never know how that war is going to end. We'll be back in a moment. William, go right ahead. Raymond, I think that one of the problems today we find, especially among the Christian population, it's very easy to sit back here in your comfort of your nice home and say, you know, we've got to protect Israel, we've got to do what's good for Israel, we've got to go to war with Iran, it's going to be a surgical strike, it's going to be over just in a few days, our boys will be home for Christmas. That's exactly what they were said at the time of the Boer War, you know. They're talking about the English soldiers who went to South Africa to fight the Boer War. Our boys will be home by Christmas, but they never stipulated what Christmas. That's what they said when we went to war with Korea in 1950. Our boys will be home by Christmas. Well, they didn't state which Christmas. Our boys are still occupying South Korea because we are still at war with North Korea. And, of course, everybody's saying this will be a short, very concise war. But are you absolutely certain that there will be no retaliation this time against American cities, against American civilians? And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And I feel that this effort to go to war with Iran for no obvious reason is the ultimate in evil, and what even bothers me more is it's being supported by major Christian leaders across America.
We should know better. And when you talk about the giddy optimism with which countries go to war and the Panglossian forecast of quick and surgical and relatively sanitary victory, I'm thinking of what happened at the beginning of World War One in August of 1914, when most of the countries of Europe, in what would have to be considered an outburst of irrational euphoria, went to war. And Kaiser Wilhelm, Dr. Stan, when you mentioned that war is a venture that nobody really can anticipate in terms of the outcome, what would happen when one embarks upon a war is not something that is really within the human capacity to predict to any level of detail. But Kaiser Wilhelm referred to it as rolling the iron dice. And when he rolled the iron dice in August 1914, he ended up with the war ultimata and the embarkation on that long-anticipated conflict with France. The German soldiers said, Auf Wiedersehen auf dem Boulevard. Well, I'll see you on the boulevard. They really anticipated that before Thanksgiving, what we would call Thanksgiving, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving, obviously, in Germany, but before the end of November, certainly before Christmas, they would be strutting along the boulevards in Paris, that their job will be done, the war will be finished, and they'd be able to enjoy some leisure time in France that had been reduced to...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William's talking about Sydney, the tragedy of war, and how time and time again, down to the centuries, people have thought we're going to get into a war. It's going to be a very short war. I'd simply pointed out that at the time of the Boer War, which was fought from 1899 to 1902, why, of course, the British public were saying, this is going to be a short war. Our boys will be home by Christmas. But, of course, they thought it was the coming Christmas. They did not realize there'd be 100,000 casualties, 100,000 British casualties, and the war would last for 3 years. When we went to war, Sydney, in Korea in 1950, why the cry was, well, after all, MacArthur's got to win this war. In no time at all, our boys will be home by Christmas. But as I simply pointed out, nobody stipulated which Christmas they were going to be home from. Our boys are still over stationed in South Korea. We are still nominally at war with North Korea. We have almost 40,000 to 50,000 troops stationed in North Korea, and our boys still are not come home from that war. And now, of course, we're talking about a war with Iran, and here's William gives the example of the attitude in the First World War after the Kaiser Wilhelm rolled the iron dice. We've actually analyzed the cause of that war. Certainly nobody in Europe wanted a long war. They thought it was going to be just a little incident and Serbia would back down. They didn't realize that, of course, World War One would end up destroying the Russian Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the German Empire, and be one of the first steps along the way to the destruction of the British Empire. When you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And somebody has to bring this out to the American people before it's too late. Go right ahead.
In addition, what happened in World War One was that you ended up with this infractious collection of ethnic nation states and statelets in places like the Balkans and in the Middle East. And we're still dealing, the better part of a century after that incident, we're still dealing with the radiating consequences of the decision to roll the iron dice and go to war. For that matter, you take a look at what happened with the U.S. involvement in the Spanish-American War of 1898, which was a very quick victory over a decrepit and thoroughly decayed Spanish Empire. But we ended up inheriting the Philippines, and the United States had to put down the Philippine insurrection, which the United States had inspired and provoked and encouraged when it was of use to expel the Spaniard. But then, of course, it was roughly suppressed in the interest of the corporate hierarchy, the corporate elitist behind the war effort. And so you ended up with the United States occupying the Philippines and getting involved in the affairs of Asia.
Well, you know,
and cultivating the Imperial Japanese. And what a great idea that proved to be a couple of decades later.
Most Americans have never heard of the Philippine-American War, which went from about 1899 to about 1903, 1904. But somewhere between 200,000 and 2 million Filipinos died because of America's aggression. Now, a lot of them died from disease, admittedly, because we totally destroyed the infrastructure of that country. But somewhere between 200,000 and 2 million Filipinos died in the Philippine-American War, and most Americans have never even heard of the Philippine-American War. Go right ahead.
Exactly, and that's where a lot of the things that have been used in terms of counterinsurgency strategy and domestic police state applications were field-tested. Was during the occupation of the Philippines. And because the Philippines were seen as a coaling station for ventures into China and into East Asia, that means, of course, Korea, Japan, and so forth, you ended up with the same imperial interests who were undermining the independence of Hawaii and annexing Kauai and abolishing its constitutional kingdom in a coup that occurred in the 1890s, and later on, of course, occupying the Philippines after taking over Spaniards, the same people who were working to build the Imperial Japanese Army that were in I believe 1905, that Secretary of State Taft went on a trip, a cruise throughout the Orient, and he was in the harbor of Nagasaki in 1905, leading a bonsai tier, meaning may you live for 10,000 years, if I remember correctly, hailing the emperor and hailing the Imperial military of Japan. And you had Teddy Roosevelt talking about the idea of using the Imperial Japanese government as a subcontractor and giving them a type of limited sovereignty under the benevolent gaze of the Anglo-American elite, of course, over what they would later call the Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere. And, of course, a few decades later, you had the same Imperial military goaded into attacking the United States at Pearl Harbor after a series of deliberate provocations by FDR. And after FDR very thoughtfully left the barn door open, so to speak. And then Nagasaki itself, which had been the refuge for almost the entire Christian population of Japan, who had been intensely persecuted by the militarist regime, vaporized by the second atomic bomb, which was dropped after month after month of unsuccessful efforts by the Japanese to surrender.
I think that's so important. Most Americans do not know the Japanese have been trying to surrender for 6 months.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't let them surrender. The only thing they asked was that the emperor not be tried as a war criminal. Otherwise, it was unconditional surrender. And the Japanese tried. We actually have an article out of the Chicago Tribune that we make available for nothing to people who want to read it. And, of course, it really means that the invasion of Okinawa, the courageous invasion of Iwo Jima, the dropping of the first nuclear bomb, the dropping of the second nuclear bomb were totally unnecessary. And I personally talked to General Albert Wedemeyer, who is in charge of the American military in China, who told me that they had picked up the radio transmission where the Japanese had contacted the Russians and said, please call the Americans and tell them we're ready to surrender. Just simply, so this is it. After the first bomb was dropped, and so what happened? Why, the Russians immediately invaded Manchuria,
yep.
And they seized all of the Japanese armies and the Japanese weapons, and the Japanese surrendered in mass, and then they could take a lot of those Japanese to Russia to work to death in the concentration camps. And of course, then they actually moved into North Korea at the time, basically. And of course, America had the message too. They knew that they want to surrender. General Wedemeyer told me, he told Washington D.C. they want to surrender, and then we dropped the bomb on Nagasaki.
And that, by the way, is a really good illustration of something that not many people consider when trying to understand why it is that occasionally you will find a country that is ruled by a government that is unsavory, that's pretty much every country on earth, that is talking about the idea of acquiring an atomic bomb. You talk about these so-called rogue nations, and it's pretty clear right now that Iran, while it's working on the same nuclear program that the Shah had been working on 40 years ago, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, has been considering the idea of getting an atomic bomb. One of the reasons why they're considering this is that they're looking at the world from the perspective of a country other than the United States, which had two bombs and dropped the bombs on Japan, which is a country incapable, first of all, of retaliating in kind, and secondly, that have been trying to surrender. Now, what type of a message do you think people acquire when they take a look at the fact that Japan was trying to surrender and they weren't allowed to surrender until they were bombed, until they were struck with two atomic bombs? The second of which, of course, wiped out almost the entire Christian population of that country, which is a fact that doesn't get anywhere near enough attention. But I'd mentioned the fact that the Shah of Iran, this is something we talked about before, had received the support of the Nixon administration, arguably, and the Ford administration, certainly, and Henry Kissinger in particular, emphatically, to build a nuclear capacity. And he did so with the overt intention of developing nuclear weapons-grade weapons-grade nuclear materials. I'm looking right now at a PDF, a photograph of an advertisement that ran in several newspapers and several magazines in the mid-1970s, no later than about 1975. And it's got a picture of Shah Reza Pahlavi in full regalia. And the headline is, "Guess Who's Building Nuclear Power Plants? The Shah of Iran is sitting on top of one of the largest reservoirs of oil in the world, yet he's building two nuclear plants and planning two more to provide electricity for his country. He knows the oil is running out and time with it, but he wouldn't build the plants now if he doubted their safety." This, of course, was something that was put in various newspapers and other periodicals by the atomic energy industry in order to placate concerns about the safety of nuclear power plants. He'd wait, as many Americans want to do. The Shah knows that nuclear energy is not only economical, it has enjoyed a remarkable 30-year safety record, a record that was good enough for the citizens of Plymouth, Massachusetts, too. They've approved their second nuclear plant by a vote of almost 4-1, which shows you don't have to go as far as Iran for an endorsement of nuclear power. In other words, once again, this is something that was part of the public conversation in the mid-1970s. Iran was building a nuclear capacity, in spite of the fact that it sat on these huge reservoirs of oil, in spite of the fact that they weren't at the time threatened by any nuclear power. They didn't have an antagonistic relationship with either India or Israel, which are nuclear powers in the region. They were on somewhat dicier terms with Pakistan, perhaps, but not really to the point where they were thinking of actual warfare. The Shah presided over a military establishment that was a peer competitor, perhaps even with Israel, that become a regional surrogate for the United States. And they were developing atomic power with a view towards developing a nuclear arsenal. That was happening in the mid-1970s, and the world wasn't going to come to an end, and people were concerned about the possibility of Iran going rogue. And now, 40-some-odd years later, we find ourselves literally on the eve of a war that Washington is perversely determined to precipitate with Iran over that same nuclear capacity that was being developed with American support just a generation ago.
Well, I suspect that things are nowhere near what we are being told. There are lots of uncertainties. If you study history, you find that we always seem to have somebody planted in the hierarchy of the enemy's government. We'll be back in just a moment with our good friend, William Grigg. And, you know, William, suddenly you go back and you study.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Of people who will do the things if we want to be done so we can justify having a conflict with them. It's its oldest trick in the world. You always want a controlled opposition. You always want a controlled enemy. And you probably should get the entire tape of this program, of the things we covered during the break, because they're quite interesting. William's talking about a congressman who recently was convicted for taking money to actually lobby in favor of a pro-Islamic group. Check up the story there.
Yeah, what happened is that he had been
lobbying on behalf of this group that wanted to have some kind of concession or exception to the sanctions against Iraq in the 1990s. He wasn't successful in acquiring the necessary permission or changes in legislation.
Was he a congressman at the time?
Mark Sylvander, yeah.
He was a congressman, and he actually took money to lobby in favor of this Iranian group.
Exactly, unregistered foreign agent. Now, what's really interesting here is the federal judge, her name, if I remember correctly, was Nanette Lawry, in handing down the sentence, admitted that there was no evidence that he'd actually materially aided terrorism, and that his lobbying efforts hadn't been successful, which meant that in spite of his intent, he hadn't actually materially violated the law. But she said that he had to be sent to prison as a deterrent to other people, which is an interesting thing to say, because right now you have scores, literally, not merely several, or dozens, scores of current elected officials or high-profile appointed officials, both current and former government officials, lobbying on behalf of a recognized and listed terrorist group called Mujahideen al-Khalq, or the People's Mujahideen, which is right now still ensconced in Iraq, but conducting terrorist attacks inside Iran as provocation. They've been deeply involved in peddling misinformation and disinformation about the Iranian nuclear program that has been recited as if it were reliable by people in positions of public trust and authority. And they've been involved, arguably and reportedly, and by their own description, in assaults on infrastructure and assaults on personnel in the Iranian government.
But aren't they, isn't this a group that was actually paid by the American CIA to destabilize Iran? So we paid this terrorist group to destabilize Iran, and then, of course, they're working over here to propagandize the American people to convince us Iran certainly is a threat to us. That's why we've got to go to war with them.
Yeah.
Why would we be paying an Iranian, pardon me, an anti-Iranian government organization, an anti-Iranian organization, we're paying them to destabilize Iran, but we're paying them to propagandize the American people as well.
Yeah, this is a group that actually killed American citizens in the 1970s. They were part of the coalition that brought Khomeini to power, and they were expelled from that coalition in 1980 or 1981. They ended up migrating to Iraq, where their leaders, who are hardcore Maoist-inspired Marxist-Leninist revolutionaries, using Islam basically as their template rather than their actual source of ideology. Their ideology is Marxist. They became an asset of Saddam Hussein, which meant that they were sort of, by derivation, American assets. That's when Saddam was on the U.S. payroll. And they were involved in terrorist attacks and military attacks against Iran during the Iran-Iraq War, which the United States helped precipitate and which the United States funded and promoted. And once again, they actually carried out attacks against American citizens in the 1970s. According to some accounts, on September 11th, the MEK, the so-called People's Mujahideen, celebrated the attack on the United States on 9/11. So you're dealing with an anti-American terrorist group, whatever their profession of admiration for the U.S. might be for the purposes of public consumption here. But you've got people like Michelle Bachmann and Richard Bolton and people of a similar stature. Congressman Kennedy is a supporter of the MEK. There are literally dozens of people. Rudolph Giuliani is a really good example. Half a dozen other people have been representatives of the or leaders or administrators of the Department of Homeland Security and other bureaucracies of that sort. They're promoting the MEK. They're materially aiding a terrorist group. Yet Mr. Sylvander, Congressman Sylvander, is going to go to prison. He didn't do anything materially to support terrorism, and he was unsuccessful in lobbying on behalf of lifting the sanctions or getting exceptions to the sanctions against Iraq. These people are agitating on behalf of the terrorist group, and they do so with impunity, and quite probably they're going to prevail. That's probably going to become a successful effort to get the MEK taken off of the terrorism registry, the State Department of Terrorism.
Go on to your search engine and look up MEK, Iran MEK. Look it up. You'll find this is a terrorist organization fully supported and largely financed, to my knowledge, by our own government. Why are we financing terrorism? right ahead.
On the subject of the United States either directly or indirectly supporting terrorist groups, of course, we could talk about recent disclosures concerning the ATF putting pressure on American gun dealers to sell high-performance rifles to people who are representing the Mexican drug cartels, or revelations about how the DEA has been laundering literally millions of dollars to Mexican drug cartels. That's another really good example of this. But today, Foreign Policy Magazine put out a really interesting story entitled False Flag, which is based on a series of recently disclosed CIA memos describing how Israeli intelligence, the Mossad, was supporting a group called Jindallah, which is a Pakistani-based Sunni extremist organization, and they were involved in assassinating Iranian government officials and killing Iranian women and children in a series of attacks that took place during the last couple of years of the Bush administration. This supposedly was done without the support or approval of the United States, of the CIA. I don't have to buy that for a second. I think that the relationship between the CIA and Mossad is intimate and collaborative to such an extent that I really doubt that they would be doing this sort of thing if the CIA really wanted to stop. There's enough leverage, there's enough pressure there that could be brought to bear by Washington against Israel if they really wanted to stop this. But the point is, you have Mossad presumably acting on behalf of, or at least with the support of the CIA, arming, equipping, and targeting the Sunni radical terrorist group to attack targets within Iran. This has been going on for a number of years. That's just another example of how the powers that be, who are supposedly our protectors against terrorism, are working with the worst elements of Islamic radicalism, in this instance, to target Iran for the purpose of bringing about this horrible, hideous, catastrophic war that will have hugely deleterious consequences, not merely for the United States and the world economy, given what's going to happen to the petroleum economy, but quite probably will have devastating consequences for Israel, and certainly would have terrible consequences for the Jewish population of Iran. And it's one of the reasons why it's so unfathomably depraved to say that those of us who oppose the idea of a preemptive war, such as Congressman Ron Paul in his presidential campaign, are somehow anti-Israel or anti-Jewish, when one of our chief preoccupations here is the possibility that horrible things are going to happen to Jews in Iran and Jews in Israel.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney Irwin is simply saying that people who are against going over there and going to war with Iran are being labeled as anti-Israel, and yet, of course, if you really care about Israel, the last thing you would want would be to have a war with Iran. Why? Well, the first thing is, of course, it would be terrible persecution of the Jews living. About 25,000 Jews live in Iran today, and they're responsible citizens. But, of course, once Iran goes to war with Jews, with Israel, you can be sure these people will be under terrible persecution. The other thing is, if we go to war with Iran, there's going to be missiles raining down on Israel. And if you don't think that little country there can withstand a 500 or 1,000 or 5,000 missiles coming in from Hezbollah. Hezbollah said they have 40,000 missiles. And if you don't think they're all going to be released upon Iran if there's a war, if you don't think Iran will attack Israel, if Iran is attacked, you're incredibly naive. If you care about Israel, do not advocate an unnecessary war. But you see, there are people in Washington, D.C. who hate Israel, and I think that they know exactly what will happen when this war comes. And then they're going to say, oh, shucks, it's just like those weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We were wrong again. Oh, but we didn't do it on purpose. It's just a shame that Tel Aviv and the Haifa and all these Jewish cities are in rubble, but we never intended it for it to happen. And don't you believe that for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. When you start a war, why, of course, at least in this instance, you know exactly what's going to happen. And our leaders, many of them who hate Israel, are intent, it would seem, upon having a war with Israel. Go right ahead.
One of the things that I have come to conclude, and this is a result of some research that was suggested to me by a friend of mine named Bob Unger, who's an educator and an attorney from Great Neck, New York, who's very outspoken about, well, everything, about Middle Eastern affairs and Israeli government affairs in particular. He suggested that I read a book by Ben Hecht called Perfidy. I don't know if you've ever read that, Dr. Stan.
I have that in my library. It's one of those books I should read, but no,
yeah.
I've heard this is an excellent book, and I do have a copy. It's just, unfortunately, it's at the bottom of the list, but tell us about it.
Yeah, Perfidy was written, as I mentioned, by Ben Hecht. Ben Hecht was a playwright and a screenwriter. If I remember correctly, I think he wrote either the first or the final draft of the screenplay for Exodus, which, of course, was the film about the founding of the State of Israel. And this is appropriate because he was a major fundraiser for the Zionist movement, the revisionist element of the Zionist movement, the conservative or what's called the right-wing element of the Zionist movement. He was the labor socialite. He was somebody who didn't have sympathy for socialism, but he was an Israeli nationalist and a Zionist, and he actually raised a lot of money. If I remember correctly, there were a couple of ships that were named after him that took refugees into Palestine prior to the founding of the Israeli state. Well, Perfidy is based on a really scandalous trial that's been almost entirely forgotten by history called the Kastner case in the 1950s in Israel. It involved, if I remember correctly, a fairly high-placed cabinet member of the founding Israeli government. And there was a fellow who was one of the literally hundreds of thousands of people you could find who had survived the Nazi attempt at genocide. And he was an austere, thin, kindly man who published a mimeograph newsletter. If you've seen the movie Conspiracy Theory, I imagine that this guy was a little like Jerry Fletcher, the Mel Gibson character from that movie, who had a little typewritten mimeograph newsletter that had a very small circulation. He'd go from cafe to cafe in Tel Aviv and hand out his mimeograph newsletter to anybody who was interested in reading it. Well, one of the things he reported was that Mr. Kastner had been a collaborator with the Nazis. Now, under the inherited libel laws, the European libel laws that were embraced by the founding Israeli government, the plaintiff in a libel action could require that the defendant prove the truth of the allegation. And it wasn't necessary for the plaintiff to prove that the defendant had lied, but rather it was on the burden of proof was on the defendant. That's the way, for instance, that libel operates in Great Britain, which is why a lot of international libel cases are filed there. There was a big libel case, and it turns out that Kastner lost, which means that the person who published this newsletter was able to prove that Kastner had been in Hungary a capo. He'd been somebody who'd collaborated with the Nazis. Well, that triggered an avalanche of disclosures that eventually revealed that a large number of the people who were among the founding fathers of the Israeli government in the labor wing of the Zionist movement, the socialists who founded the Israeli state, had consciously made a deal with the Nazi occupation officials in Hungary where they turned over hundreds of thousands of Jews to the Nazis in exchange for allowing the top echelon of the labor socialist movement to emigrate to Palestine. In other words,
that was the so-called transfer agreement.
Exactly.
Right.
They bought their lives at the expense of hundreds of thousands of others, and they made all kinds of pious noise about how this is a necessary and historically redemptive sacrifice that's being made. They're the dust of history. They simply have to be disposed of in the interest of the greater good. We are the greater good. We embody the future of the Zionist movement because we're going to create the state that was rooted in this cynical and hideous, I would go so far as to say satanic arrangement, where they were sacrificing the lives of hundreds of thousands so a handful of elitists could survive.
And this is one of the most incredible stories. Barry Shamish is a frequent guest on our program. He's spoken repeatedly about this, the so-called labor Zionists who hate Jews. The labor Zionists hate Jews, and they were instrumental in bringing about the Jewish state. And if you haven't read his books on this, you can get them at lulu.com. But Ben Hecht's book is very, very important, and people need to learn about the transfer agreement. It's one of the things that has been totally suppressed here. I don't think most Jews know about it, but they certainly should. Go right ahead.
One of the things that Barry Chambers has said, and that my friend Bob Unger has also said, is if you want to understand how things have worked out for the Israelis in terms of the way the politics operates in that country, imagine what would happen if, after the War for American Independence, the first president of the United States had been Benedict Arnold, and that's pretty much what happened with the founding of Israel. And the problem here is that the premise of Zionism, at least modern Zionism, has always been that it's necessary for the Jews not only to have a national home, but to have a Jewish state, on the assumption that a Jewish state is necessary in order to protect individual Jews against persecution. Now, given the history of the Jewish people, I can understand why that premise is superficially appealing to people, the idea being that they have to have some place where they're not going to be persecuted, as they have been pretty much every place they've lived throughout recorded history. The problem here is that the way it works in practice is that rather than having a state to defend Jewish people, the Jewish people supposedly have a responsibility to defend the state with their lives. And so you end up with a situation where the one place on earth where Jews are actually consistently in peril for their lives is Israel. And the people who run that government, this is true of every government on earth, of course, but in the case of Israel, of course, it's become a cup of trembling to the nations, as I believe it was Zechariah prophesied. This government is willing, and it has been from its very foundation, ab initio, this government has been willing to sacrifice Jews for the greater good, the greater interests of the people who are running the government. And that's one of the reasons why I think what's going on now with the role being played by the Israeli government in the drive for war in Iran is so striking, because this lives down, in my estimation, my perception, this lives down to the worst elements that were described in this book about the transfer agreement in perfidy. I mean, this is perfidious.
But I think what people have to understand is this war with Iran is going to justify Iran attacking Israel with weapons, and these may well be weapons of, you know, either chemical or biological weapons, or who knows what will be in these weapons. But the same thing will be true of Hezbollah. They have 40,000 weapons, missiles. They're very sophisticated missiles. Israel's a little tiny state if you've ever been there. Could you imagine 40,000 missiles raining down on little Israel? Why would anybody in their right mind want to submit Israel to that? Well, you have to hate Israel, and that's some of the leaders of this labor. Pardon me, this labor Zionist movement. Go right ahead.
Well, one of the things that I've mentioned before, at least I don't know if I've mentioned on this program, but on previous occasions and other interviews, I've talked a little bit about this book, How Israel Lost, by Richard Ben Kramer, and he spends half of every year over in Israel. And in previous installments, I think I've mentioned that my take on the book is ambivalent, because there's stuff in it with which I vehemently disagree. And furthermore, I have problems with Richard Ben Kramer as an author, because he wrote a perfectly scabrous biography of Joe DiMaggio, who's somebody I've always considered something of a personal hero. That having been said, it's interesting when he examines the disposition of the founding element of the labor Zionist movement in Israel, how for every year on Yom Kippur, this book by Richard Ben Kramer, this is not something that I'm inventing, and this is something that I found almost impossible to believe, but I looked into it and saw that he was not the only person who shared this account. As a matter of fact, there was a group biography of the founders of the Israeli state that talks about this. Every year on Yom Kippur, the labor socialists who founded the Israeli state, at least a delegation of them, would trek to the Temple Mount and have a picnic where they would eat ham sandwiches in view of the pious Jews who had assembled there to worship God. And, of course, that's a profoundly offensive thing to do, given the fact that eating a ham sandwich is not compatible with kosher. And they were doing this as a deliberate gesture of scorn and contempt for the religious Jews who saw Israel as a manifestation of God's abiding covenant with the Jewish people. Now, there are some religious Jews who do not subscribe to that position, who believe that it's the job of the Messiah to restore the Israeli nation and not the job of the United Nations, which, of course, was the entity responsible for founding the current current nation of Israel. And it's interesting as well, if you take a look at the Declaration of Statehood that was produced by these labor socialists, they go out of their way to omit mention of Israel's relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a passing reference to the Rock of Israel, but in context, that rock could refer to the state or it could refer to the Zionist movement. They go out of their way once again in the course of this Declaration of Statehood specifically to talk about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the United Nations Charter, but they go out of their way once again to omit mention of or even allusion to the scriptures of what we call the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, having to do with the covenantal relationship between God and Israel, or anything having to do with the aspirations of the prophets and saints and sages of ancient times. So there's this dichotomy in Israeli politics that is very pronounced. Barry Chamish has written about it very eloquently and compellingly. Richard Ben Kramer, who doesn't have anything in common ideologically with Barry Chamish, I doubt that they would have really much of a civil dialogue with each other because their views would be so different about so many other things. But they, from different perspectives, are telling the same story about this dichotomy. And this is of relevance to us because we have stupidly allowed the government ruling us to get us deeply entangled in these affairs and to cultivate the worst elements within that government, pretty much every other government in the region, setting the stage for what would prove to be a catastrophic war, a devastating conflict that would be good for nobody except for those familiar cast of people who profit from war and hardship and misery, the people who monetize human suffering, you know, the people who profit off of bloodshed, molten chaos. And I honestly think that one of the reasons why the people behind this anticipated war are interested in having this war now is because they want to prevent the emergence of an Iran that would be more moderate, would be sort of a normal member of the so-called community of nations. In other words, I'm thinking of what Daniel Pletka, the American Enterprise Institute, said just a couple of months ago. I believe it was in November. She gave a presentation at the AEI, which is one of these neocon redoubts. And she's one of the people who have been promoting war with Iran now for over a decade, as she heads the Iran section at the AEI. She gave a presentation in which she admitted that the danger here, from the point of view of the people she represents, is not that Iran would get a weapon because it would want to use it in the sense of waging an attack on Iran. That's what we're being fed Republican consumption. They'll develop a bomb. They're just months away from getting a bomb, getting weapons-grade nuclear material. And as soon as they have that, they'll build a bomb. They'll stuff it on a missile, and within a very short period of time, they're going to attack Israel because, well, presumably that's just because, you know, that's just how they roll. But Danielle Pletka is candid enough, at least when she's talking among a group of like-minded people, to admit that that's not going to happen. That's the least likely outcome. That's what the head of the Mossad says right now. Iran does not pose an existential threat. Daniel Pletka says the real danger here is that they would get a nuclear weapon and they would use it simply as an instrument of diplomacy, the same way that France or Britain or India or the United States have used nuclear weapons simply as a deterrent. And if you take a look at the map, you see that Iran is surrounded by nuclear-armed neighbors, almost all of whom are very inhospitable to it, and they're surrounded by American military assets, both land assets and sea assets. They're dealing with, in the United States, with a government that has twice overthrown their government and that is conducting a low-grade campaign of assassination in their country and has clamped down an embargo that seems to be modeled after the embargo that was used to help goad Japan into war in 1941. And they see a steady stream of provocations, and they hear the rhetoric coming from every presidential contender except for Ron Paul endorsing the idea of a preemptive strike and endorsing in some instances the use of tactical nuclear weapons against them. You know, Iran would be highly motivated to acquire a nuclear weapon if only because the recent history of international affairs has seen the United States attack a steady procession of countries that do not have nuclear weapons. They've seen what happened to Serbia. They saw what happened to Iraq. They've seen what happened to Afghanistan. What's going on even with Pakistan, which is nuclear-armed. That's one of the things that's being taken into consideration by the Iranian government. They're evil people, but they're not stupid. They're not self-destructive for the most part, although there are probably a handful of people who are. But what really worries me is the self-destructive impulse in Washington and in Tel Aviv, and whether we're going to see the United States and Israel manipulated into a war with Iran that would be of nobody's benefit, except, of course, for the war makers.
We'll be back in just a moment with William Gregg right here at Radio Liberty. William, why don't you go ahead and have 3 minutes to wrap up the program. As soon as the stations come back on board, I will have...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more?
Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.